Well, good morning, everyone. I might just ask a question or make an observation. Usually in a service, most services last about 2 hours. I notice I'm beginning at about the two-hour mark at 11:25. When does service typically end? Does it end at 11:30?
It ends at 12 or whenever you're finished.
Okay, so 12 is kind of the designated part. Okay. What's that? Well, I definitely won't go to midnight, but I was... I didn't know if I had a five-minute lesson to give here, or at first when I noticed it was getting close, I thought I'd make sure I stopped by 11:45. But anyway, so at least we're on the same page as to expectation. If 11:30 is the expectation, I need to make sure I'm aware of that. Well, as I was sitting here, some of the things I was thinking about was, if you think about the history of our country, for instance, we've lived, well, as a country, we're getting close to 250 years old now. If you think about as times have changed, as we roll from the 1700s to the 1800s, from the 1800s to the 1900s, and now into the 2000s, has society around us in many ways changed? If we think about our own life, there are those of us who are here who may be under 20. There's certainly many of you are here who have more experience in life, and I'm getting to that stage as well. I'm of a retirement age that I literally could retire too. But whether you think about, some of you can remember the 40s, some the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and so on. Again, we've seen changes in society. We've seen changes in the ways people may look at things. But there's also things we've seen that have remained constant. For instance, Denton brought to our attention this morning John chapter 3, verse 16. And I'll go ahead and mention this as well. That's actually where I was going to begin, and I mentioned the history part first. But in John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus speaking here says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This was a verse that those who lived in the 1700s and beyond has known and has loved. These are verses that people you've known over the years that may no longer be with us have heard and held to in their lives as well. I bring this to our attention because it begins by saying, God so loved the world. The love of God is brought out here, and as we finish, those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're talking here about salvation. The message of salvation has remained constant, whether from the time of Christ to the beginning of our nation, to the beginning of our lives, the times that we can remember. This morning I want to spend a little time talking about some of the things that salvation is often attributed to. I'm going to put some things on the board here. This is a lesson that could involve two. It could be extended into two different things. I'm certainly not going to look to cover all areas with this, but I want to put a few things on the board. If you will, the title of it might be, "We Are Saved By," and I'll put a few things here. Now, as I put some things, in a sense, this may not be an exhaustive list, but at the same time, other things that you may think of could probably be incorporated in some of these as well. So I'll start off here and just kind of, again, make a few overall comments as we write some of these up. But we are saved, certainly, by God's love. We'll start with that. Along with God's love, and it's because of God's love, that he also extended his grace. Well, I'll go ahead and put the whole word. I started to just put a mark to indicate that that would be God as well. But we are talking about God. Let's put God in here too. God's grace. You know, as I write some of these down, some of the things that come to my mind are, this is a message that you've heard before in many ways. But it's also a message that in your 20s you may understand or you may appreciate on one level. As you get to your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, while you may hear a similar message, there are aspects that we can continue to deepen in an appreciation for. God's love is certainly one. God's grace. Another that we will include here is Jesus. Now, I'm not going to write everything that we could talk about with Jesus, but when I think of Jesus here, we're talking about his life. Yes. We're talking about his ministry, essentially, his teachings. Yes. We're talking about Jesus as the Savior. Yes. We're talking about Jesus with his blood. Any and all of those could be included. Right now, I'll just put the word Jesus, but all of those are a part of it. Also, the Holy Spirit. And again, what I'm listing right now relates to things that we are saved by, or aspects of our salvation. I'll put three more up here, giving a little more space, and that is faith, that is baptism, and that is works. Now, I think some of the value of this is that we can look at any of these individually, and we can look at them also collectively. Because, in a sense, any and all of these can stand on their own, in the sense that we can say we are saved by God's love. But it's also because of God's love that the rest of these became a part of the plan of salvation. God's grace. We're certainly saved by God's grace. But I wouldn't necessarily say we're saved by God's grace alone. All of the rest of this have their role, if you will, in salvation. We are saved by Jesus. There's no doubt we're saved by Jesus. But not everyone in the world will be saved because they may not respond to Jesus. And so, in that sense, we could say that we're not saved by Jesus alone either. We need to have faith. We need to respond in these ways as well. There's no question that the Holy Spirit is the one who has given us the plan of salvation. After Jesus departed, he sent them the Comforter. So the Holy Spirit, it's through the inspiration of the Spirit that we know what the plan of God is. The Holy Spirit is the one who is given to us as we become a Christian. Some of the things to recognize is, at least this is an attempt to also put things kind of in an order of which things happen as well. God's love is where it all begins, and it's through his love that his grace was extended as Jesus was sent to live among us. Well, we weren't really there at the time, but live among us in terms of humankind. After he left, the Spirit came to guide the apostles into all truth, and that includes us as we continue to be guided by that same word. Some of these are more general type things that have been extended to all people. Faith is certainly something general in the sense that the gospel of faith was sent to all. But this is also a very individual type thing as well, in the sense that it's an individual faith because of your individual faith and mine that we come to Christ, that we believe and we accept and we appreciate the love of God. There's also a response that we have in the sense that as we obey, we also are baptized, and also there are works that we are involved with as well as we rise to live for Christ. Some of the things, as we've noted, these many would teach almost, there's many things that you could go into any congregation around and hear the same message. But there are some of these that some may emphasize more than others, or may emphasize less than others. And one of the things I want to mention and share with you is it seems that the Scripture incorporates all of these in God's plan of salvation. As I said earlier, these can stand individually in some senses, but as they stand individually, that does not mean that they stand alone. Again, it could be said that we are saved by faith, for instance. There was no question that the Bible says we're saved by faith. But yet, faith is also something that leads us to action, and that is part of this as well. Let's look at some of these more specifically. A moment ago, we mentioned John 3:16 about God's love. We also read this morning as a lesson in our scripture from 1 John chapter 4. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read part of this chapter this morning. Again, all of you have read through 1 John chapter 4 before. All of us have an appreciation and a perspective on some level of God's love. But no matter how old we get or how young we may be, there is value in God's love. May it not be something that we simply think of, well, I know this, I've read this, but as we look at it once again, as we read it together, as we consider it, may we truly understand and appreciate the idea that's presented here, that God is love. It is because of God's love. We've mentioned that all of these are about what we are saved by. And we're certainly saved by His love. 1 John chapter 4, begin with me in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There is a key right there. Three words. God is love. Now that's something that many know, many see, and many grasp hold of on some level. But there is so much for us to perceive and understand and consider about God's love. It goes on to share with us in verse 9 what God's love caused him to do. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That we might live through him. Yes, we live in this earth through Christ, but also we live eternally through him as well. In verse 10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here in verse 10, we're certainly not discounting the idea that we love God, but that's not the emphasis. When it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, well, absolutely we need to love God, but it all begins in the sense that he loved us and that he sent his Son to be our Savior. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. This passage brings in the idea of his Spirit as well. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Here we're getting into his Son, the Savior, as we mentioned as well. So several of these that we mentioned on the board are incorporated here as well. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Well, here's that same phrase again. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And then verse 19 is we'll consider it to be the culminating verse that we'll use here. We love him because he first loved us. Well, we know that there's much that can be said about any of these. I've paused and commented on a few of these. We truly appreciate the verse 7 as it began about God and being love in verse 8. We truly appreciate what we've seen here in verse 19. We understand, we have a perception of what love is, and we certainly have a desire to love him and love him. And it's all because he first loved us. So when we think about how we are saved, God's love is certainly where it all begins. It's because of his love that he also, his mercy was extended to us. Let's look at a couple of passages about God's mercy. We're going to go into Romans. I will look a little bit at chapter 3, one passage from 3, and also a few verses from chapter 5. And again, as we look at this, may we again appreciate them. Most of the passages we'll use, again, it's not as if you've never seen them before, but may we continue to appreciate them, because this is God's message to us. You know, before I read it, just thinking about this, we live in a world that's not necessarily spiritual. As we are born, as we grow up, as we go to school, as we go to the workplace, as we go around to entertainment and different things, these aren't aspects that they can enhance us, we can appreciate them, but they don't necessarily focus on our spiritual life. And there are many people who go through these and never really appreciate the fact that they are a spiritual being. And it's easy for us to lose sight of this as well. There, you know, I've kind of made reference to history, whether it's of our country or other places. And in a sense, I think there was a time in our country where the spiritual values were considered more. They were appreciated more. We're living in a time and a place where there's less emphasis. And if we're not careful, we can fall prey to that as well. And so what we can appreciate is that we can continue to always be found grounded here. And may we be found here. And may we continue to encourage others in these same efforts. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, talking about God's grace. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, two words that have been used over the years to describe God's grace are the words unmerited favor. God favors you. God's love, we talked about love, yes. But God's love, we're not going to say you're His favorite, or I'm His favorite, but yet there is great favor that He has shown us. Unmerited would, of course, mean undeserved. There's nothing that I've done that I deserve God's grace, but He's very happy to extend it to us. And so we see here in verse 24 again that we are justified freely by His grace. We've been declared righteous, not by our own righteousness, but by His righteousness, by His love, and by His grace. I want to go ahead and go into chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, especially the last half of it, it's very, very interesting in the sense that we have Adam and Moses contrasted here. We know that through Adam, sin entered into the world, and through Christ, eternal life is possible. So there are some phrases here about Adam and sin. It's through Adam that sin entered. And there's also phrases here about Christ. I'm not looking to go through the whole passage, but I am looking to consider some that talk about God's grace. For instance, in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, that would, of course, be through Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. You know, I'm sure Adam was a good man. I'm sure Adam did lots of good things. Adam happened to be the first one who sinned. And so there are consequences of that. And it's because of that that God's grace was extended to Adam. Yes. But it was extended to every man and woman who's lived after Adam as well. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Go down to verse 17 with me as well. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. through Adam, sin entered into the world. Through my first sin, sin entered into my life. But through Christ, God's grace was shown. In verse 21, once again, as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Showing how grace is involved with our salvation. A couple of other ones that I'll turn to, I'll just mention as far as Christ and all about God's salvation with this. In Matthew chapter 1, both in verse 21 and 23, the angel is appearing to Mary here and speaking about what Jesus would be called. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And we are a part of these people that are saved from our sins as well. A couple of verses later, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's God's grace for us as Christ came to be our Savior and to be with us as well. We've mentioned here about Jesus. We've already talked some about Jesus. When I wrote that up, I had mentioned that we're talking about his teaching. We're talking about his life. We're talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. In all of these, he was shown to be the Son of God by his resurrection. But Jesus is also, we can think about him in terms of his life and his blood. I'll begin in John chapter 1. I'll read parts of this. I'll figure out how much I want to read as we go through it. But again, right now, talking about Jesus being light and life. We know in John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus being born into a world of darkness, a darkness that people rejected because he is the life. He is the life and the light of men. That was true 2,000 years ago, and it's true for you and me today too. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We go on to talk about the man sent from God whose name was John, the one who was to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. In verse 8, we find that John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. 2022, we still have that same right to become children of God as we believe in his name. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the last verse we'll look at with this is verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's Jesus. That is where he would fit in this, in terms of his teaching, and certainly also in the terms of we allowing him to be our Savior. I say we allowing him in the sense that we confess him as the Son of God and as our Savior as well. A couple of other passages I'll briefly mention. I won't turn to them, not because they're not valuable, but because of time. But in John chapter 6, verse 63, it talks about it is the Spirit who gives light. This is Jesus speaking. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And one other verse I'll mention in terms of Christ's blood, and that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Again, I'm just kind of trying to hit some high points and speak of all of these very briefly at least. What about the Holy Spirit? How is the Holy Spirit involved in salvation? Now, I say that in terms of overall, but also your salvation and mine. Again, without turning to some of these passages, but reminding you that when Jesus was talking to his apostles shortly before he ascended, he told them that he would be ascending to heaven, but that he would send a comforter to them, the comforter that would guide them into all truth. So the message that the apostles were guided into, the message that we still are guided into, a message of all truth. We live in 2022. The question could be asked, what is truth? We live in a society that has so many different sides, if you will. In a sense, there's one side here and one side here. You can get into particular issues. And for the sake of this lesson, we're not getting into particular societal issues. But we know some that are around us today. Where do we go to find the truth? Do we go to a particular political party to find the truth? Do we go to a particular political office to find the truth? Do we go to the executive branch or the legislative branch or the Supreme Court to find the truth? Unfortunately, there are different views of the truth. But as we hold to the Bible, we recognize that the Bible is true. And that's one of the things we can appreciate about John chapter 1, verse 14, that we concluded with a moment ago. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, it's nice that we are here as humans. God created us thousands of years ago. And in doing so, we are on this earth. This earth is, of course, very different than where God currently dwells in the sense of heaven. There's also part of the value of Christ coming to the earth. But in a sense, no matter who we are, I mean, one of the things that we as Christians can appreciate is God certainly has that standard. As humans, there are things that we may not really have a full grasp of, and we certainly don't. And that's kind of why there is infighting between us as humans here. But God is above us all and certainly can establish what the truth is. May we recognize that and follow that. A few others here, and certainly, obviously, faith, baptism, and works are things that we could spend lots and lots of time on, and we've got about 5 minutes, so we won't spend tons of time on any of them. But one of the things that we can recognize is that we certainly are saved by faith. There are some in the religious world that then would say we are saved by faith alone. And we can appreciate, all of us can appreciate being saved by faith. But if we go to the point that we say that we are saved by faith alone, then I think we're also discounting some other aspects that are very valuable, that we can find scriptural basis to find that we are saved by those as well. I mean, actually, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 is as good a place to go as any at the moment as we choose selected passages. Because it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10 that we find valuable pieces of all of this. In verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Let's pause for a second and appreciate what we find right here. It is by grace, and certainly God's grace, that you and I have been saved. It's also through faith. And we also see that it's not of ourselves. It truly is a gift of God. But then we go on in verse 9, and we see not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, in a sense, we're seeing here that it's not of works. And what we're truly referring to, I believe, here, is that it's not of works in the sense of works of the old law. There are aspects that as we obey the Lord, that we will follow Him. Just to make a brief reference, most of us recognize that over in James, it tells us that we see that we are justified by works and not by faith only. There's certainly not a contradiction between James where it says we are justified by works and here where it mentions not of works. But it does mention in verse 10 as we go on, for we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, we can appreciate the message of Christ. We can appreciate that as spiritual beings, yes, we like what we have here in many ways. Yes, we can appreciate our friends, our husbands, our wives, our children. There is much to appreciate here, but we are also spiritual beings. We're also ones to be focused upon God and Christ and His desire for us as well. And yes, it's important that we have the faith to come to Christ, but also we see here in verse 10 that we are created in Christ for good works, that God has prepared that we should walk in them. Another aspect that we have with this is, of course, remembering the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost. When, as he preached, the people were moved by what he said. I'll go ahead and turn there, a passage that we're familiar with, and that's Acts chapter 2. We'll pick up with verse 26, or 36, I should say, where at the end of his lesson, as Peter is speaking, he finishes his comments at the moment by saying, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ." We see in verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responded with words that we continue to hold to today by saying, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So for them, he instructed them to repent. He also instructed them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, their sins would be forgiven, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That day, we find that 3,000 followed what Peter said. Over the years since, we've had thousands and millions of people who've also come to Christ in a similar way. For those of us who are here today who are Christians, we have followed the same instruction, repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receiving the same gift of the Holy Spirit. We've taken time this morning to look at ways that the Bible speaks of being saved. Some of these have been somewhat abbreviated, but may we, as we think about these, may we appreciate what each of these involve separately and how each of these work together. May we appreciate God's love, God's grace, Christ and all that He has done for our salvation as well. The Holy Spirit, both in terms of instructing us through the inspiration of the Bible, as well as receiving the Spirit on a very personal level as we become a Christian. God dwells within you. He dwells within me. May I live my life in such a way that the Spirit works with me as well. We appreciate where work for faith and baptism and works involve combined together and are incorporated with this as well. May this be a message we continue to remember. As we go out into a society that's good in many ways, a society that's mixed up in many ways as well. May we embrace the truth, not the truth that the right tends to tell you, not the truth that the left tends to tell you, but the truth as presented and given to us by the Word. And may we appreciate Jesus as He is the Word of God and as He is our Word, the Word of truth. This morning we bring this lesson to a close. For anyone who may be here to have anything to bring before us, whether it be coming to Christ in initial stage of obedience, if you're here this morning believing that Jesus is the Son of God, we invite you to come to confess that, to repent of your sins and to be baptized, to rise and walk a life for Him. If this is your desire or you have something else to bring before us, please come as we stand and sing.